Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
What's that sound?
Shut up.
Treat yourself to 1,000 letters.
So, welcome to Podcast 2187.
Oops. And,
we have everybody here tonight. We have Jared, we have Mark, and we have Andrea. So, how are you all doing right now? I don't care about 5 minutes ago. I don't care about 5 minutes from now. At this moment, how are each of you?
I'm processing a payment to see Avengers.
I feel
so. I'm good.
I'm in an existential whirl after Tim's question. Like, not in the past, not in the future. I don't know, because now it's the future from when he just asked. And
And I'm asking about the past.
I'm ill-equipped. I'm a whole different person now.
Because if you think about it, there is no such thing. Like, the human cannot process such a thing as the future, because by the time we've processed it, it's no longer the future.
No, it's just everything. Everything is bull except for the present. You're absolutely right. Time is an illusion.
All right. Well, Mark, we missed you for the trailer last week.
In Idaho. It was great.
I'm glad it was great. Anything great. Super special? Was it just great?
It was great. It was, I ended up going to a little dirt hole in Nevada for a day. I went to some hot springs and soaked in some sulfur-ridden pools of water, which was fantastic. I went and visited a distillery. I went to the racetrack and watched some cars race. I barbecued, relaxed, saw my grandparents' grave. I went and got some snow on me. It was fun.
So I heard you say you barbecued. Do you have any griddle marks?
No, I do not, because I didn't barbecue. Well, I sat there and drank beers while my dad barbecued.
Okay, I'm waiting for the day that you actually have some griddle marks, because
I will show them.
I need that. Okay, so I'm glad to hear that, but more importantly, what did you think about the Solo trailer, since we have not heard your thoughts yet?
I thought it was great. I haven't watched it a bunch of times. I watched it, I watched it maybe once for sure, maybe twice. I don't honestly remember. But apparently my opinion is close to yours, Tim, in that it just looks like a lot of fun. I have zero expectations other than I'm probably going to have a good time. I like a lot of trash as far as movies go. So this movie's going to have thank you. This movie's going to have absolutely. It's going to have to be horrible for me to not like it, whether it's like, next level, unbelievably, fantastic. I don't know, but I'm sure I'll like it. It looks fun. We haven't had a fun Star Wars movie, I think, in a long time. Everything's so damn serious.
Well, yeah. And if I'm hearing you correctly, you did listen to last week's episode.
No, Jared told me your opinion very closely resembles mine.
Well, yeah, you'd said exactly, right? You'd said that on the episode.
Yeah.
That you were mostly just expecting it to be fun, and everything else was zero expectations. And
I'm not expecting an Oscar-nominated script here. I mean, not that I would for the others, per se, because it's Star Wars and the Oscars, and that historically doesn't go well. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just expecting it to be something fun, where you walk in, and then by the time you leave, you're like, wow, that was a fun experience. And you go home and think about how much fun you had, and that's it. I don't know. What do you think?
As long as I can get extra butter on it and my popcorn.
well, but Mark, so what do you think about the Lando speaking that we finally have? Because we now know from the TV spot he does say "hand," so we figured that.
I don't feel alone anymore.
Donald Glover gets you.
Only the cool kids say "hand" that way. And so me and Donald, we are simpatico.
It's got half the checklist.
He's halfway. Yes, and now halfway has to be perfect. Chewbacca.
Yep. As long as he says Chewbacca, then this movie passes my litmus test.
Even if he says Chewbacca, and then later on when they're like buddy buddy, it's like, I love you, Chewbacca. It's like, okay, good. You gotta say at least once.
Because as long as Chewbacca, explains it to him. Corrects him, because I imagine that he pronounces everyone's name correctly. He's Han's oldest friend.
Yeah, her name is Kyra. My name is Kira.
Everyone else just says it wrong.
Yeah, what's the one guy? His name's Beckett instead of Beckett. And everybody just accepts it because it's Lando and they love him. So they're like, oh, Lando, you can call us all whatever the hell you want. Like, yeah.
That's believable.
I mean, at the same time, like, he got Luke and Leia, right?
Well, how could you not mess those names up?
Leia feels like you have a little bit of opportunity.
I mean, they say Leia in the movie.
That's true.
Luke, the on the other hand, the only... Luke's impenetrable. Like, what are you going to call him, Luck?
How do they even get to Leia?
How they what?
I don't know how they mispronounce Leia's name.
Like... Just Dodonna don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, every Leia I've ever known is just L-E-A.
Yeah, or L-E-A-H.
Yeah. Dodonna. Dodonna, you goofball. That guy is just, he's just, what's his face? The dude from Game of Thrones now.
Oh yeah, I can't remember his name, but I know what you mean. From Rogue One, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's what's his name? Like Barristan the Bold or something. His backstory is awesome because he won the duel to join the Royal Guard or like the jousting tournament. He was like, yeah.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. I'm positive he's in the movies now. I thought he was the guy who played Dodonna. He just has a beard and different hair. Oh, no. No, you know, it is. It is Dodonna. I'm almost positive. For a second, I got him confused with the guy who plays in Matt.
All right, hold on. I have to look it up. I mean, you can keep talking, but I have to look it up.
I still
don't
care. Because
I don't think it's him.
I'm positive he's in the movie, but I'm less sure that he's Dodonna. I really thought it was. The dude who was the one who ends up joining Daenerys and spoilers for Game of Thrones a while back, he died.
All right, so the guy who played Dodonna is in Game of Thrones as Barristan Selmy.
Whatever.
Wow.
Whatever. I should have known that, to be honest.
He's also going to be in Krypton, apparently.
Does anybody care about that show?
I tried it. I couldn't. I forced my way to finishing the first one, but I had to start it like three times. It was not, and I love Superman. I love that stuff. Well, I wasn't into it.
You know, I think for me, it looks like a horrible, horrible CW Superman. Another one, and I'm over CW shows. I'm done, except for Supernatural. I'll watch it every once in a while.
I like a lot of them still, but I know what you mean. Like the superhero ones. They just tread water, like they just redo the same stuff over and over again for me, and it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's old, you know. It's tiring.
It is.
And before you know it, some of these people will have their own sex cult.
Gosh, that stuff is depressing, and just the fact that it like expanded into so many like different people, that so many different people were involved. That's really gross.
I'm gonna get depressed. There's a Star Wars sex cult. Otherwise, I could care less.
All right, so moving on.
Don't miss.
Mark.
Got a comp.
Mark, there's a Star Wars thing that we can talk about that's not depressing. And it is something you're excited about, and it has to do with General Hux, right?
Yes.
What was that?
He's so cute.
Okay.
And I don't know.
I didn't know you had a thing for the Weasleys, for Gingers.
Josh wanted me to talk about his wonderful hair. Yes, he did. He tweeted me and said, make sure you mention Hux's wonderful hair. So apparently it's a thing.
All right, then. All
right. Wait, is this just like in general? Like,
what?
His hair? Or like, did he get a haircut? Or... is there a reason? No,
I guess the slickness of it.
He just like did a deep conditioner treatment, and now it's.
What do you think about it?
I don't. I haven't seen his hair since I watched Last Jedi.
It was different in Last Jedi though than it was.
It's just hair. I don't know.
Okay, so then don't dye yours.
Are you expecting me to read this whole page?
It's no Oscar Isaac like.
Read the. The Hux-centric. First of all, thanks to Elaine, who I happen to see a tweet from this. to where she was thankful that this passage in canon in the new book pretty much says Huck's horrible. And I disagree with it, and I want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. I think I know what you mean.
Well, to paraphrase it, it kind of like says Hux is a dummy or bad at his job or something, like, right?
Well, I think let me go ahead and read this. I think this is the paragraph you're talking about. And the first, do we know, is it Iago or Iago? Do we know?
Probably Iago.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We'll go with that. Iago would endure Hux just as Peavy had, because both men knew the general wouldn't last. He would undoubtedly succeed at destroying the remnants of the resistance and bask in the glory of that accomplishment for a time. But then the real challenges would begin. The First Order would have a restive galaxy to tame, one that had been plunged into chaos, and sooner or later, Hux would be undone, revealed as an incompetent officer and an intemperate leader.
Damn.
That's from the novel For the Last Jedi.
Damn.
So, Mark, you have thoughts about that?
Yeah, because bottom line, once you start to look at the events of The Last Jedi and the events of The Force Awakens, you see that everything that he's done is successful. It's just undone by Kylo and by Snoke. So you look at what happens in The Force Awakens, he pretty much destroys, you know, the seat of power for the, you know, the galactic, whatever the hell. What's the name of it? Somebody.
The Republic.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Star Wars fan.
Yeah, we established that you are Andrea last week.
So well, he has that. He succeeds there. He's just about ready to finish it off. But the only reason that anybody even destroys Starkiller Base is because they go to save Rey. Am I correct on that or incorrect?
Yeah.
If Kylo didn't take Rey, Finn wouldn't be so quick to go save her at Starkiller Base, and then they would have never brought down the shields. Correct?
Well, if Kylo didn't take Rey, he might have gotten on that ship with the pirates.
Right.
I mean, that's what was happening, right? He wasn't running before that moment. So,
right, so Starkiller Base would have blown up. Would have blown up the rest of the rebellion. So that's the first thing. What?
That's not how the Force works.
That's how the Force works.
Good response, though.
So he's ready to succeed, except Snoke telling Kylo to bring the girl. Kylo bringing the girl that undoes that ruins Hux's victory or potential victory. So now the new one starts. Not only does Hux have their whereabouts because of the hyperspace tracking, he's ready to destroy him. But of course, Kylo, having to get Rey and bring Rey back, blows the ship up, which ruins everything. You know, so the whole idea of Hux not being successful is false. You even look at the point to where Hux is then with the AT-ATs ready to blow up the resistance that are hiding in the mines of Crait, and Kylo stops them all because he has to go after Luke, enabling them to escape. So everything Hux is doing, every victory he has or is about to have, is undone because of either Kylo or Snoke. So he's a great leader. He's a competent leader. The Last Jedi, you know, the whole rebellion would be over and finished if he was just allowed to complete his job.
I feel like this writing is from the perspective of the First Order person thinking it. Right. So I feel like he just has the First Order perspective of, if you let them get away, whoever is in charge failed or whatever it is, regardless of the reason. So it's not exactly a fair assessment, but perhaps they're just looking at it from that absolute perspective.
All right. I agree.
Nobody wants to say anything else.
I don't really have an opinion on Hux. I get distracted by how his mouth moves.
I don't even notice. How does his mouth move?
Like, he kind of, not so much in The Last Jedi. It's mostly in the one Force scene Awakens. In The Force Awakens when he is yelling. Like he
like a Muppet.
Yeah, like his mouth moves very weirdly. Like he looks like a Muppet.
every time he's not moving it, it defaults back to like this grimace where he's like holding his lips to really close together towards his nose, like he's like pulling his like this bottom lip up really high. It's like he's making a really funny face, but it's his default, so it's between every like facial movement. So it does. It looks like
when
like
he just
Muppet.
Like is exclaiming so loud or whatever that his mouth is just opening so big and then closing. And he just looks like a Muppet, and I can't take that scene seriously because I just laugh.
I'm totally with you. I see Beaker from the Muppets in a First Order outfit, like screaming, and everyone just like I would just be like, "Come on, man!" I'd be laughing if that were me.
Right, which I will say, I did not think that way in The Last Jedi. So I think it was just that one scene, but it's really stuck with me.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. Let me... No, way to ruin my conversation about the brilliance of Hux and how great of a leader he is.
Both of you
have resorted. You've made him out to be a Muppet. So
no,
what's wrong with Muppets?
Hey, yeah, I love Muppets, and I was waiting for you. I was going to say I was waiting for your response to Tim's comment because I thought you made a lot of really good points, Mark. You were convincing.
Yeah.
And when you explained it to me very briefly over text, and then just now, I thought you made some really great points. Because to me, it feels like Kylo is just kind of irrationally angry and obsessed with specific things, and Snoke has his own agenda, and it's all story convenience. But I don't really think any of it can be pinned on failure leadership from Hux, despite being a Muppet. I have a hard time taking seriously, but that's like Andrew said, that's a preoccupation because of I think one scene, and that delivery is just his. That delivery was hammy, but the rest of it hasn't been. So, no, I buy Hux is competent. I don't think he comes across as a failure.
But everybody likes to think of him that way, which I don't really get.
I don't get it either.
Okay, so on to the rest of our non-Star Wars discussion.
I don't really see him as a bad leader.
Why?
I just see him as... I think he's smart enough to know he can only push Kylo's buttons so far or else he's getting a lightsaber like through his back. So he's like, I can only do so much right now. Maybe one day I can like get rid of this guy and then be at the top because that's where he wants to be. Like, he's clearly very ambitious. But for now, it's either like, okay, listen to this guy to a point, or possibly, get a tantrum thrown on you via lightsaber, which I don't feel like is a pleasant experience. So I feel like he's not really at his full potential because he's purposely holding back.
I'm curious the way they're going to go with it in the future, to be honest.
Well, it's going to go one or two ways. It's either like something's going to happen to Kylo and Kylo's gonna like off him like Vader would randomly off officers generals when they weren't doing what he wanted.
Or
a third option, someone defeats both them at the same time, creating a power vortex.
I don't know, because like that is a good question Mark has about where they go from here relating to episode 9. I mean, do we think Hux is gonna make it out of episode 9?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
It feels like there's a lot of stuff that they have to accomplish in the next episode. I think if people don't get the Knights of Ren, they're going to be really angry. Really angry. Probably more so than
Yo,
the way Luke went out.
I'm sorry, though. That is typical J.J. Abrams. That is his fault, is that he introduces stuff, and then he's like, we'll figure it out later.
Well, this is the later for him to figure it out because he introduced it in Force Awakens.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just like that's one of his faults as like a director, is that he likes like just putting stuff in and then not necessarily thinking through of how he's going to follow up with it, i.e. Lost.
But I think stuff since then hasn't been the case.
Probably Westworld.
Well, he's not the one like behind everything in Westworld. I feel like
isn't he the executive producer?
Yeah, but he's not the showrunner or like creator, you know. He's involved, but that's not the same thing, you know. Like, there's stuff he has been involved in where I think he has had a plan, and there's stuff where they've changed plans as well. And I don't know. As individual films, I don't think have had that problem as much either.
Yeah, I think it should be solved, but I'm not like putting all my money on it. Will, like, I'm not 100% sure it will be.
Yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't place a bet on whether or not the Knights of Ren are going to be addressed in episode 9, because, I mean, as of right now, really, he doesn't need to, the way episode 8 went, but you can, there's an opportunity, so it just depends on what he wants to do with the story. But I just, going back with the whole Hux thing, though, do they want to turn, because they have a history of officers between, like, Tarkin and Piet and all those types of officers. So do they want to take the route of kind of a formulaic officer for the rest of his presence in the movies, or will they want to do something original and new with his character? I mean, like, I don't think he's about to, like, you know, join the resistance or anything, but something unusual for an officer's role. Like would he try to, you know, have a duel? This sounds so weird, but like, have a duel with Kylo for the supreme leader position, or just something unusual.
Like a Western?
I don't know anything.
No, like in Hamilton, and everyone's sing rapping. No, he distracted me. No, I feel like I like what Tim's saying, though, actually, as an idea, but instead of a duel, it would be like, I don't know, trying to like outsmart him or maneuver him politically within the First Order.
Yeah, I mean,
that guy agrees. That's my emphatic sound effect.
It's like, boom. But no, I just, anything that is just not the typical formulaic First Order Imperial officer that we've had so far. Just something that breaks the mold of what you might expect for a person in his type of character. Or does he go the standard route that everyone would expect?
I would love it if there were like little things going wrong all throughout episode 9, and there were like things going wrong on First Order facilities and ships where like lighting was falling and barely missing Kylo. Like all this stuff was almost killing Kylo, and you find out it's just Hux's manipulations. Like, just never quite standing in the right place because of the Force.
And that could get comedic too.
Get like in my head, I was like thinking as if Tom and Jerry or, you know, the Roadrunner and the Coyote.
But like,
very much a Roadrunner Coyote situation.
Yeah, but I could see like a Mel Brooks situation too, where it just gets increasingly insane with the types of things he does to try to get it done.
It's like a giant mouse trap by the end. Like, it just doesn't even make sense.
All right, so I guess there's that. Anything else that we want? I didn't really see a whole lot of Star Wars news this week. It's been mostly Solo, like, promo art or TV spots or whatever.
Last Shot came out.
That's true. I haven't gotten a chance to read or listen to it.
I haven't read it, but it seems like people are pretty hyped about it.
I've heard really good things, only good things. And one spoilery thing, Daniel Holder talked about, not this week, but the week before, he had said that he was introducing a techie Ewok in it. I really, really liked that.
So for anyone who's not as familiar with what this is or what the point of it is, would you give a brief summary of what this is we're talking about?
The new novel by Daniel Holder, right?
Yeah. And what's it about?
It's starring Lando, and in the era, I think, of the Han Solo film, I believe. I'm not sure.
Let me see if I can find an official synopsis.
I've been mostly spoiler-free on it, so I've just known the basic setup, but it's a Lando-centric book that it was sold with, like, the idea of endorsing or supporting the new movie.
See, I think I'm gonna be able to find a synopsis here. Hold on.
oh, it looks like there's stuff that happens in the past and then 10 years later. So maybe there's either a flashback or something, but it does talk about him as like a rebel hero.
Okay. Okay. So from what I'm seeing, this is on Wikipedia. It says it's been 10 years since the rebel hero Han Solo last encountered Frizen Gore. After mounting a successful rebellion against the Empire and starting a family with an Alderaanian princess, Han hasn't given up much thought to the mad inventor. But when Lando turns up at Han's doorstep in the middle of the night, it's Frizen's assassins that he is running from. And without Han's help, Lando and all life on Cloud City will be annihilated. With the assistance of a young hotshot pilot, an Ewok slicer prodigy, the woman who might be the love of Lando's life, and Han's best and furriest friend, the two most notorious scoundrels in the New Republic are working together once more. They'll have to journey across the stars and into the past before Gore uses the device's power to reshape the galaxy. So, that's what we have. And it looks like they're kind of two parts of it. It looks like that's the later part, and there's also a like an earlier section, I think.
Like you were saying, flashback or framing sequence. I know that it's being said to be a tie-in to the movie, and the promo art has like abstracted silhouettes of Donald Glover's Lando's outfit and him, you know.
Oh, and here's like a synopsis for the first part too. So is it like split into two halves, or
I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm mostly spoiler free. I just knew it was a Lando tie-in novel that people were enjoying, and that was released to promote the Solo release.
And that's cool. Apparently, it has a Han and Lando cover on this in the same like book. They're not separate editions. The same thing as both.
You flip it.
Yeah, that's really cool. So it says for the previous entry, which is before Solo takes place. It's one of the galaxy's most dangerous secrets, a mysterious transmitter with an unknown power and a reward for its discovery that most could only dream of claiming. But when those who fly the Millennium Falcon throughout its infamous history aren't your average scoundrels. Wait, but those. Sorry, I messed that up. Whatever. Okay. Not once but twice.
Scoundrels?
You know what I meant. So not once but twice, the crew of the Falcon tries to claim the elusive prize. First, Lando Calrissian and the droid L337 at the dawn of an ambitious career, and later a young and hungry Han Solo with the help of his co-pilot Chewbacca. But the device's creator, the volatile criminal Frizen Gore, isn't interested in sharing, and Gore knows how to hold a grudge. So yeah, I'm guessing that there is, like you're saying, before Solo, there's this setup of what this device is, and then another section of the book is after Return of the Jedi, the follow-up for what that was, and there's this whole civil war in between.
Sounds about right.
And then he gets Cloud City, the end.
I think I saw a tweet about this too. Like, basically someone said, like, this is great Han movie, that's cool, but can we get a movie about how Lando got Cloud City?
Yeah, I saw that tweet. That does sound interesting.
I agree, because there's like a fair point there, I think. Like, that could be a full story.
So let's talk about that a second. Is there anything, like, if they can make one book, or if you could choose a book, first of all, here's where I'm coming from. I had a conversation, I forget who it was on Twitter, but they're talking about, you know, what would really be cool would be to get the backstory of Count Dooku. Especially how, you know, not Darth Sidious, I mean, not Darth Tyrannus, but Count Dooku, how he's working as a separatist leader, how he had people behind him, how, you know, from that sort of perspective, when he left the Jedi Order, what was that like? What was a Jedi like knowing that, you know, Dooku's over here on this side, you know, going off against them? So I think there are certain characters whose backstories would make you know, far more interesting book or novel or anything than other characters, obviously. So if you guys had a choice, how Lando got Cloud City would be a great story. But if you guys could pick something personally to get a backstory fleshed out, who would it be? And what? If you have any.
In a novel form, specifically?
Anything.
Huh.
Because did you really need to see Han Solo and Chewbacca meet up for the first time?
Right.
If that was the thing that you wanted, great. Then this movie, you know, clicks that box for you. Me, I want to see more Boba Fett. I know Andrea doesn't care, but at the same time, there's not necessarily a part of his life at this point that I feel I need to see. It would just be him doing adventures. There's not anything that would be like, okay, I really need to see what happened to Boba Fett. I'd be more interested in seeing how Qui-Gon Jinn became a part of the Jedi Order and what his young life was like, rather than, you know, get more story about Boba Fett. Does that make sense?
So, yeah, and I think where I'm at, because I kind of have two thoughts. One, it's not really a backstory, kind of is. I mean, I would love to see Obi-Wan on Tatooine between episodes 3 and 4. But since we have the prequels, I don't think that really counts as like a backstory, really.
I think it counts.
I mean, kind of. But if we're going for like what you're saying, Mark, more in line with we don't know about this character until this point, I would kind of like to see a backstory about Mace Windu and like what got him into the position he was in.
A-hole? Angry a-hole? Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I was thinking along the lines of you, Tim, because I was thinking I would either like to have how the Clone Wars started to explore Force ghosts and that stuff with Yoda. I think that'd be really cool to go more in depth with that, or to have a full Yoda backstory. Like, what is what's his deal? who are you?
Yeah, Jared, I thought you were gonna say the whole Yoda backstory.
Well, I do like that a lot. You know, like I don't know. I also don't know what I would pick. I mean, that'd be one thing, but the thing I would want most of all, I'm not sure. There's so many cool characters. Lately, it feels like a young Leia story could be really cool because she had an interesting childhood. Yeah, but I'm thinking, because Mark said novels, and I asked novels, he said, or anything, because I'm thinking more of a movie. But
I want Princess of Alderaan to become a movie so badly.
Because that's the other thing about Yoda. It'd be cool to get that in a novel, but I would kind of rather, Mark's described it so well, you know, a long time ago we've all used it on the show, I think, at some point, talked about how it would be cool for it to be almost Jim Henson-y, you know, like Dark Crystal or something, or Labyrinth,
Yeah.
I would, it's not that a book would be bad, because I love books, but in some ways, I think your idea of Force ghosts, almost like a ghost story on Dagobah, where he's learning about this stuff, that could be really cool. Maybe more cool as a book, because it is so much in your imagination. It's spirituality and afterlife stuff. You don't need special effects to see a bunch of people in blue lights haunting him. I mean, it could be really cool. Horror movies can be great if they're done awesome, or ghost movies, but it could, that for me feels like it's no benefit either way. Whereas Yoda is such a Muppet, let's give him the full Muppet treatment.
Let's go full Muppet.
So
yeah,
with Yoda,
I would love to see a Yoda movie. Absolutely. But I don't feel like I need anything explained to where I want to know what happened.
Yeah, no, that's true. We've always said that. We don't want to see him getting picked as a kid or something. There's no reason to see him as a kid.
I want to know what happened to Poe's parents. Do we know? Does it ever say in the comics?
I don't know. Doesn't
I'm assuming they're dead. But they were in the comics briefly with Luke, and he got them I don't know the actual name, a force tree, and planted it in their backyard, and then that was it from what we heard of them. And then fast forward, Poe is in the Resistance, is a great pilot. There was a forest tree in his backyard. Did that affect him at all growing up? Like, are his parents still around? Did they, like, die when he was a kid? Like, I want to know. I want to know the details.
Did we ever see in comics or books or anything Luke go back to Tatooine to his family's homestead? To his uncle and aunt's?
I think he went back to Tatooine.
He does at the beginning of the Marvel comics. To Ben's time.
Yeah, but I don't think he goes back to his. No, I don't think so.
I don't remember him doing that. Yeah, you're right. Like, it's where he grew up. You'd think, or maybe it's too traumatizing seeing them all fried and stuff.
I can't really blame him. Like, what are you going to go there for? Just to be bummed out?
I'm curious. Did he bury them?
No, he just left.
Well, and like, here's another thing. Vader made his castle on Mustafar, where, like, the place that was kind of his biggest tragedy. So you might think that for, like, the Force spiritual aspect or whatever, Luke might go back for some sort of, like, personal development or something, you know?
Yeah, but maybe the
difference
would be...
Yeah, but isn't it tapping into the dark side? Because like, grief and sorrow and, like, selfishness. Like, you're sad for yourself.
Tucking it away and blocking it out is kind of more dark side.
Maybe it's a parallel in that it's an inverse in that he goes back there, but he doesn't dwell on it. That he goes... That he thinks of them... But that he has a mission to do, and that he's, you know,
he's moved on.
Reflects
he doesn't
on
need
his past.
To go back. Like, he's accepted it, and
yeah. Whereas Vader built the base on the side of his tragedy,
right? So he could just
Luke lets
dwell
it go.
In it. You just take a hot lava bath in it. That would be a cool backstory.
Oh
did
no!
Did
want
he build
that
brick by brick?
No, I want that so bad. Vanay, I believe is his name. I know it's a name. It's like Padme and all that stuff. I want to hear about his manservant. I still have a whole fantasy. I have a whole backstory worked out. That's what I want to write that one. I want that one to happen. I imagine
he's Vader's manservant.
Yeah, the one from Rogue One. And I imagine he's a young man, but he's breathed in all of his volcanic ash, and that's why he looks like so old. And because of his name, I imagine he's like friends with Padme on Naboo, because his name sounds like one of their names, like Corday and Padme and Vanay.
It would also be cool to get a Padme backstory.
Oh, that'd be great.
What do we need from her?
Like, how'd she become, like, queen? Like, she just got voted to be queen?
Yeah, that was a thing. We saw two other Naboo and queens, and they were both, like, 14-year-old girls. Like, it's their thing. It's an art community that votes in 14-year-old girls to be their politically elected queens for elected periods of time. It's weird. Like,
yeah, it does feel weird. And then, like, CO Bibble's just chilling going, yes. These are the cool. Some dirty old man just, like...
Makes it extra creepy.
Yeah, you got Rick Ollie just chilling in the shadows.
I mean, he looks like a cross between Colonel Sanders and David Crosby. That's not wholesome.
CO Bibble, yes.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, it's just not wholesome. It's like, he's up to something. why does every 14-year-old girl keep him around in the cabinet or whatever? It's like,
you know, every time he walks in the room, he's like, oops, communications are cut off.
Ew.
Gross.
No. No.
He's a pedo.
Exposing the gross underbelly of Naboo.
Yes.
Yours is the John Stossel expose mockumentary. That's the story you want to hear.
What did you plan on doing with these wine
the
coolers?
Senator.
No. Yes.
Okay. I these wine. She told me to bring the wine coolers. I was just driving by. Yeah.
Wine coolers. Those things are the Seagrams.
Seagrams variety pack.
Oh, those things are like Kool-Aid.
Wait, I have to mention, because I mentioned Human Giant earlier. There's a moment in an episode where it's To Catch a Predator, but the kid who's the actor is supposed to be a little boy, and it's Aziz Ansari, and he has, as he usually does, a full beard. And at one point he says, like, after the guy gets caught, like, what the hell's the matter with you? I have a full beard. And like, he's like, I'm a man. like, I'm an adult. How did you fall for this?
So I do have a question about Solo, because I think there was some conversation about this a while back, but I haven't seen it in a while. What do we think about the chances of Lobot having any role, major or cameo, in Solo?
I think I'll have a cameo.
But like a Dr. Ezevan type of thing?
Yeah.
If he does, he shouldn't be Lobot-y yet.
So just like normal bald guy without any...
He should be, he should be, or really should he have hair? Dude, in Lando's
he should
friend.
Have long hair.
Well, even if he has the even if he has the implant yet in the story, he should still be he should be Lando's go to wingman until later on, until closer to Empire.
Yeah, what would his name be though? Because obviously Lobot stands for something, right?
Yeah. Well, what? Yeah, you'd think it's like lobotomy, right? Right. Although one. I did not think of that until I was like, that didn't register until I was probably like 12. Because that stuff was around for so long, from the time I was born, like it was just his name to me. I'm like, Lobot. He said, dude, it's like a robot. He's got a robot thing on his head, whatever. It makes perfect sense. Lenny the Robot. But
do you want to know the history of Lando and Lobot? I mean, would that be a story that you'd like to know, the friendship?
Absolutely, because that miniseries where he gives up his humanity is so good. Like, I would love just a buddy comedy starring the two of them, like old fashioned hijinks buddy comedy starring Lando and Lobot, with like Lobot with like total 70s hair, like long hair and sideburns.
So can it be like Lethal Weapon?
Yes.
And maybe he's just crazy, but the lobotomy cures him of his suicidal tendencies.
Oh, that's excellent.
And Lando's always, I'm too old for this crap.
So there is some current canon on Lobot, apparently.
We just talked a little bit about it.
Yeah, but like some details over certain
What's
things
his real
that you're
name
talking
now?
About. Well, it just says he goes by the nickname Lo. I don't think it has a real name listed.
So he is Lenny the Robot, or Lo the Robot. All right.
See, I don't see a quick glance. I don't see like a real name for him, but it says that he would run battlefield calculations for the Empire. But then he started working for Lando, running numerous criminal jobs. And during one job, which was the theft of the Emperor's personal yacht, he was gravely wounded by an Imperial guard. And in his injured state, Lobot's mind was lost, and his cybernetic implants took over.
It's much more touching than that in the actual story. Spoilers for the comic book where that's mentioned from, because it doesn't just go away. Like he gives it up to save everybody.
Right.
Like in a weird
I remember
way.
You mentioning that like before tonight. I heard you just now. I mean, I remember.
No, it's one of my favorite comics that they've done so far, and it's really good. And it's like Lobot is awesome because of it. So I guess his friendship with Lando would have started after he already has his head shaved because of the implants and running the calculations for the Empire. I can't imagine them letting him have long hair. But it'd be rad still to have them have their friendship, you know, blossom.
I'm just like searching to find a name now.
Well, you keep searching. Let me ask a general question.
Wait. Lobert Bot.
Robert. That might be good.
Go on though. Kira?
Kira, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I assume.
What's with the 80s denim skirt?
I mean, it should be the space 70s.
I know, but that skirt was 80s, no?
I feel like
it.
Like
the jean skirt?
Right.
Andrew, you know anything about that?
No.
All right.
Don't know about denim skirts?
I only know about the Canadian tuxedo.
What is that?
You don't know what a Canadian tuxedo is?
What is that?
Like a denim outfit?
It's when a guy wears a denim jacket and denim jeans that are the same color.
Is that like Brian Astley or something?
It's like George Harrison in the 80s when he had a perm.
Oh, like
I just don't see that as a Canadian. I would see that all the time with cowboy stuff.
It's weird. We say that all the time here. Maybe it's just like an upstate.
I bet it is because you guys are so close to Canada.
Yeah.
That's your frontier. Whereas, like, I was surrounded by cowboys.
Like,
was a desert.
I basically live in Canada, so.
I've never heard anyone take shots at Canadians as a culture. It's interesting.
Canadian, Canadian really? Tuxedo, if you Google it, it's the first thing that pops up. An outfit consisting of denim wear for tops and bottoms, such as a jean jacket and jeans. Yep. There's even a Huffington Post.
Oh, wow, you're right. It is.
17 reasons why the Canadian tuxedo is the best outfit ever. Wow.
Well, let me just go ahead and read Huffington Post.
It's truly not.
I mean, not only is it the first thing that pops up, if you search it under Google Images, on the front screen are pictures in a Canadian tuxedo of Chris Pratt, looks like Ryan Gosling, and Chuck Norris.
The classic Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears couple photo where they're both wearing denim, and she has a denim purse, and he has a denim cowboy hat. Oh my god,
that's rough. That's I'm so glad I'm not looking at this image.
That's the Star Wars backstory I want.
the story of the denim hat.
this entire outfit. Who was like, this is what you guys got to wear. This will get you great press.
Oh, and an old picture of Alec Baldwin that is too in there. Okay.
And Flight of the Conchords.
Because you mentioned Chuck Norris even for a moment, I really need to mention Top Dog because I had not seen that movie. Oh my god, that movie! It's a kid's movie, and it came out like after like K-9 and like other movies where cops are teamed with dogs and Turner and Hooch, right? But they were like, okay, kids like, you know, Chuck Norris action movies, and they like these dog movies. So the dog is a police dog who loses his partner to neo-Nazis. And Chuck Norris is another cop with another partner who loses his partner to the same neo-Nazis. So they team up for revenge. It's a double revenge story with Chuck Norris and a cop to fight neo-Nazis. It's so bizarre. And it takes place in San Diego, and the soundtrack is Zydeco music. And to make sure it's a kid's movie, he's got an 11-year-old friend who rides BMX bikes.
Can I make a retraction? So, okay. About 5 minutes ago, I said the Canadian tuxedo is like when George Harrison had a perm in the 80s and wore denim on denim. I Googled George Harrison Canadian tuxedo, and the picture is actually from both the 70s and the 90s. So, he did not have a Canadian tuxedo with the perm. The perm was a separate look entirely, but still both memorable.
Keeping it real. Keeping it straight.
Okay, so on that note, I am going to go ahead and read a question that we have.
Hey, Tim.
What?
When you get a chance, since we're talking about Canadian stuff and stuff north of the border, go ahead and Google Alaska Pipeline. Okay? Just in your free time, when you're alone in your room, just feel free. you'll thank me later.
What's happening? That felt thoroughly weird.
Okay.
It didn't until the alone.
So anyone who wants to share what Star Wars backstory they want to be a novel or movie or whatever, poem, just give us let us know. Let us know. I wanna hear everybody's thoughts.
Freestyle rap.
Yeah. Concept album.
Ooh, like a prog rock?
Yeah, like Led Zeppelin with Lord of the Rings. Oh. That'd be pretty awesome, actually.
Yes back together or King Crimson to make like a
like,
progressive
like Tommy.
Star Wars album.
I was Tommy just thinking of Tommy as well. I do like the idea of it just being as literal as Led Zeppelin talking about trolls and wizards and whatnot. I love those guys so much.
So this question is from Dave/DarthKindness, and he says, I have a question for Jared. Did you get your button? And yes, I expect to hear my answer on the podcast.
Not yet, but I have not checked today, so I should have. I will check today, and I will let him know online.
What button did you get? Right.
I got sent a button from Darth Guidance. I'll post it from the account.
All right.
Wow, I'm not sure what it's going to be yet.
Hopefully it says you suck.
I doubt it. He is more positive than you. He is Darth Kindness.
He needs to go to the dark side. We need like a, what is it? SpongeBob has the opposite day. Just one day a year, he's like, just opposite Darth kindness.
Darth
villainous.
Darth meanness.
Darth meanness, yeah.
I want this to happen, and I want to see it when it does. So
on May 5th, Revenge of the 5th.
Ooh, yeah. That's Darth perfect.
That's what we're asking Dave to be mean online for one day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Darth meanness, May 5th.
He has to have seen so much angry Twitter.
On that day, our podcast will also be no longer a Star Wars podcast, but it will be Vanderpump 2187.
Yeah, it actually. See, the fun thing is, I do the editing, and it won't be.
What?
I think we have a gateway. We have a. Does Amanda, Rebel Girl Amanda, does she watch Vanderpump? Because I know Tracy does.
I don't know if she's watched the current season.
We might be able to pull her in with the one character, the one person, Stassi's love for Pizza with Ranch. I think we might
I loved. All right, we don't have to talk about this right now, but I did love when she ranked the condiments to dunk in pizza.
Yes.
Number one, ranch.
What's number two?
Wait, no, number one was sriracha and ranch mixed together. Number two was ranch. Number three was, what was number three? Barbecue sauce?
I think so.
Barbecue sauce, balsamic, and then she was like, if I'm really drunk, then just ketchup.
Whoa, ew, no. Whoa, that's just making me worse.
That's horrible.
Everything number five is... I was willing to listen to. Ranch is fine. Everything else, really, I'm like, okay, makes sense.
Ranch, pizza.
Balsamic
ranch
feels like unnecessary for the most part, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Balsamic seems like too highbrow. It's almost like, depends on where you get your pizza.
If you're having like pizza and you're drinking, like you don't need to dunk in balsamic. Like you're happy.
Well, I don't think it's too easy, though. If you're going to Little Caesars to get a $5 pizza, you should not be putting balsamic vinegar on it. That might require ketchup.
You should.
That might be a ketchup style pizza.
Might already be composed of ketchup. Oh,
true.
You definitely would need like a gallon of ranch to eat Little Caesars pizza.
Okay, so here's a question.
Cheap, though. When I was really, really, really poor, I would sometimes eat that a lot because it is cheap.
Little Caesars?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Just gotta dip in the ranch.
It's not the same as Wegmans pizza.
Wegmans pizza is nothing delicious. Is.
Nothing's the same as that.
Andrea, did you come up with a name for the every episode Vanderpump segment as we talked about last week?
Oh, shoot.
It's like you think there will be a segment.
If we talked about it last week, we're talking
Mark,
about it.
Yeah, and I said last week, time. You think there'll be a segment?
Mark, it's we have to make a name time. For this segment.
Okay, if not, we can always go on Jared's X-Men podcast and just pump in with, you know, Vanderpump.
Yes.
I'm giving you permission to go on Jared's podcast to do that, yes.
Tim, we're every not supposed time. To do that.
We do have an email. That I've been holding on to because I've been waiting till everybody would, all four of us are on this show.
Vanderpump, isn't it?
No. It's from Josiah, and it's titled Episode 100 Ideas, and he has three. So he says, here are my wonderful ideas for Episode 100. Number one.
Hey, I like how humble it is to start off.
Yeah. Number one, broadcast live from Wegmans. If hosts cannot make it to Wegmans, possibly call a store representative and ask about their opinions of Star Wars. Number two, play Battlefront together, pause for insult / sigh from Mark, and stream it on Twitch.
Ooh, I would like to play that new Ewok kill thing.
I don't have Ewok a new hunt. One, but I would.
Fun? Is it fun?
So it just came out like this past Tuesday, and I haven't done it yet, but I will be doing
I've heard really good things. I've heard from a few people who've played it, and they've said that it's been really fun.
So do you start as an Ewok?
You start as a trooper, and if you get killed, then you get turned into an Ewok?
Yeah.
And then you hunt the other people.
Right. Yeah. I think a couple people start as Ewoks, but the majority of people start as stormtroopers.
Oh, there you go. Odds are against you doing it. I hope so, man. Yeah, I was just gonna say, I now know how to do what you suggested. We could do Tango a podcast, and we could talk about old movies, and we could force Tim to be on. we don't even need him to record it. We'd just be messing with him.
Yeah, we could. Well, yeah, because Tim needs to see some movies.
I do.
Sure.
Like.
Yellow Submarine.
I've seen that.
Good... Damn, I haven't even seen that one.
Wait, really? Have you seen Tango and Podcast? Have you seen Tango Cash?
Don't need to.
What does that mean?
we could all start watching K-9. We could do an audio commentary for K-9.
I've seen that, I believe.
We should do all dog cop movies.
Wait, no, I'm thinking of... No. What's the Harrison Ford movie? The submarine.
Which one?
Not K-9.
Yeah, I know, but I got it confused with that. What is that called?
It's like K-12, The Widowmaker or something.
Yeah,
or,
that's what I was thinking. I don't know. Okay, we still have an email here.
Was it K-9? Okay, go ahead.
The number three idea was to have sitting guest Amanda Ward must be on episode 100. This isn't really an idea, but more of a demand. And then, okay, bye.
That's her.
Also, don't demand.
She busy.
True. That is true. So I guess of those three options, what are we going to do if we had to pick one right now? What would we do as a podcast
for 100? You guys go ahead and do a live podcast from Wegmans. Jared and I will meet up and do a live podcast from Whole Foods. And then okay. Or we'll do a Northgate Market or El Super in our area. And then you can just tell me which is better. Fresh guacamole.
You cannot fault the East Coast for being the East Coast. Well, an avocado tree cannot survive in this habitat.
I feel like you're going to feel differently when you're over here enjoying fresh guacamole.
No, I can almost guarantee that I will.
Okay.
We'll miss Wegmans.
Well, I just have to.
No, you will. I'm sure.
But Mark, to respond to you though, one does not simply walk into Wegmans and set up a podcast solo and just like broadcast for fun.
It is K-19 the Widowmaker. So that's that makes so much more sense. But just that's what you were imagining when Mark and I were talking about the dog movie. That was amazing.
Where's Harrison Ford in this dog movie in the submarine?
No,
I don't understand.
No, that's why, because as soon as he says something about like cop dogs or whatever, I'm like, oh, wait, he said K-9, didn't he? That makes more sense than what I was thinking.
Damn.
So, what? Is your movie better than mine?
No, it has Jim Belushi and a dog. It's significantly worse, I'm sure. It's just great that's what we were talking about. And I imagine you sitting down to watch K-9 expecting it to be submarines. And Harrison Ford clicking yes.
But to get back to Mark's
image of being like, why is it a dog? Why is it a German Shepherd and Jim Belushi?
But like, to get back to Mark's original point, I've seen a lot of old movies.
I've got it. So Tango and Podcast is strictly a podcast about buddy movies. That's it. Good or bad.
That's really good. I like that a lot. Man, have you guys seen, what is it called?
Dude, we can do Theater Rex with Whoopi Goldberg and the dinosaur.
I'd do that. I remember seeing that. Not in the theaters, thank God. That would be...
That one movie with Burt Reynolds and the kid.
Cop and a half.
Subject ourselves to horrible, horrible crap.
The poster image for Cop and a Half is burned in my brain because it was like an ad on the back of every Marvel comic book for like 6 months. So as a kid, yeah, I had like hundreds of little mini posters for Cop and a Half.
That's a winning idea right there. We might have to do that, Jared.
I think that's pretty good. Like, I like it. I like that because, like, immediately I'm thinking of like, there's fewer made than there used to be. They used to be all the time, you know. But they're still around. You get all the new Kevin Hart movies. You got Ride Along, right? Or not Ride Along?
Ride Along.
Yeah, Ride Along.
You count like Central Intelligence, him and The Rock as a buddy movie.
Right.
You'd be able to count, obviously, Lethal Weapon or 48 Hours or what's the other ones? I think, boy, we're going to just run out of some really good ones.
Well, there are tons of other, there's tons of good ones. What's the recent one I like with Tracy Morgan and Bruce Willis?
The one that, the Kevin Smith one?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Like, they're at least funny. I'm trying to think. There's tons of buddy movies. Like, absolutely tons of them. Oh, Rush Hour.
What's going to happen now is I'm going to ask if there's anything else that anybody wanted to discuss before we end today's episode.
No.
All right. so.
Hey, have you guys bought anything yet? Or pre-ordered anything for, I did my usual pre-order already, soundtrack, art book, visual dictionary, and then that's it, I'm done. You guys buy anything for Solo?
I have not bought a thing yet. I just thought of Bad Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to bring it back on Star Wars. Maybe even Solo will be a buddy movie the rate we're going.
It feels like it is, maybe. Hopefully.
So I don't ever pre-order like the visual dictionaries or anything like that. The only thing I usually get is the soundtrack. So I have that coming, but that's it.
Mm. Looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to not to digress, but man, in just a couple of days I'm gonna get new Avengers music by Silvestri. I'm getting a new Avenger movie, and like I said, I'm planning on going to Dolby Cinema Sunday morning at 7:30. The whole center section, like from the start to the back, is sold out. And it's like 7:30 on a Sunday a.m. I really haven't seen that before. So I'm curious how big this movie is going to be this weekend. Because even Black Panther was huge. And I was able to get tickets a couple days in advance on a Sunday. No problem. But this one's like,
It does seem like something else. Like, they were saying it broke all the records at all sorts of places.
Well, just I tried to buy a 10 a.m. showing for Friday and it was sold out. 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Like school's not out yet. Who's going at 10 a.m.? Just probably a bunch of random people who randomly have off or took off.
This is like a really good buffet and not like that hometown buffet crap. But like, you know, if you like this type of food, or maybe you don't like Doctor Strange, but guess what? Here's Iron Man. You don't like Iron Man? Oh, okay. We got some Captain America for you. Oh, you like bearded Captain America? Well, guess what? We got that. Oh, Black Panther. It's like, it just keeps going. If you don't like somebody, there's somebody else in this that you absolutely love.
No, that's a really good point. Like
Chris Pratt, you know? Everybody loves Chris Pratt. Oh, can we talk about something real quick?
Sure.
Okay. Jurassic World. I didn't finish that trailer. That thing was too effing spoilery.
Yeah, but that trailer looks great.
Yeah.
I don't think so at all. Enough.
What do you mean you don't think so at all? They reversed the entire conceit.
I think they changed
trailer within the first minute.
I'm confused as to what genre this movie is in now, because the first trailer just seemed like an action movie, and then I watched the second trailer and I'm like, is this a horror movie?
Part of it does feel like a horror movie. And even Spielberg said, what, the final act is pretty terrifying.
It's the way they presented it, it looked like a classic like horror, like I don't want to spoil you, but like classic horror movie, like sneaking around bad guy stuff. And I was like, wait a second, is this the same movie as before?
What's interesting about that is that there was a comment from, I think, Trevorrow about 2 weeks ago, a week ago, like 10 days ago, where he said that the next one, the third one, will be that he's executive producing, will be like more like the original Jurassic Park, will be like a science thriller. It'll be really tense. And that makes me wonder if this doesn't like set that up or something. If it is more horror-y in the third act or scary, I don't know. Like, that's interesting. Yeah.
Jurassic Park in space.
Jurassic aliens. They all got baby dinosaurs in their bellies.
Well, because this one, like, the director is a good director and he's good at capturing suspense. But I feel like the trailer didn't spoil anything. I feel like it summarizes what we're going to find out in the first 10 minutes.
No, absolutely not. No way, Tim. Okay, Jared, plug your ears for a second. Unless you don't care.
I'm good. I'm okay with it.
You okay if I say anything?
Yeah, like I'm sure it's. I don't watch a whole lot of live TV anymore, mostly just because nothing I subscribe to lets me, except for FX, lets me do it with still has commercials. So there's a chance I'd see it.
Well, basically, the trailer kind of starts this last trailer that they just released within the first 30 seconds to a minute. You basically find out that the whole reason they went to the park was not to save the animals, but the dinosaurs, but to do something else. And they're mad about it. You told us we were going to go in and save the dinosaurs. And it's like, wait, what? Okay, now you just basically told me that this whole big explosion thing, like, Tim, if you're saying you're going to find that out early in the movie, that means the whole explosion of, you know, the volcano and all that, it's got to happen early on.
Yeah.
And be done. Does.
But I think that entire part of the movie is going to be like finished within the first half hour.
That's crazy, Tim.
Think about Star Wars and think about how the first half hour we have been. We're still about 5 or 6 minutes out from meeting Luke.
Yeah. You mean to tell me he's reunited with Blue? All this different stuff happens, and then bam, it blows up.
I'm just saying, I feel like that's not the main plot line of the movie.
You might be right.
Not, but they just revealed the twist in the trailer.
I get what Mark's saying.
Is it a twist, though, if they're not at the main point yet? The main point, a twist has to be a part of the main point, not a twist as to what becomes the main point.
But you've been selling everything previously in this trailer as they are going back to the island to rescue the dinosaurs. There's even a little Twitter account called Dinosaur Rescue. Like, I follow it. It's Dinosaur Rescue Authority or whatever. And they make a point so far of everything being we're going to go save these dinosaurs from this volcanic island. And that's how they keep showing. They keep showing the explosion as the thing you got to worry about.
Right.
Well, now suddenly I see surfers and that giant.
Oh, my God. That freaked me out. The ocean freaks me out.
Well, that's kind of based off of like a real picture, though.
Honestly, what's really funny is you guys are sort of making me more interested in seeing this trailer than I ever would have been otherwise. No, but that being said, like, I get what you're saying, Mark. Like, because even if it's not central, because not every single element in the – I don't remember if you guys remember the trailer or ever saw it to The Negotiator. Do you remember that one, Mark?
With Kevin Spacey.
And Samuel Jackson, right?
Yeah.
In it, they made fun of it once on Letterman because they literally – there was a giant twist where the negotiator ends up siding with the guy who he's supposed to be disarming and like figuring out that he's been framed by the cops, that they're both, you know, good cops and blah, 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 and teaming up. And in the trailer, they reveal that. It is absolutely like a central twist, and it happens like two-thirds of the way through the film. It doesn't make any sense to put it in the trailer. And people made fun of it in all these different shows because it was so absurd. And it's not that level, but it's just like I feel like in general they give too much away, you know, a lot of times. And it's weird to have that conceit for 7 months or whatever that they're doing this and pitching it this way. Even if it's not a central twist, like Mark's saying, it gives him a weird vibe. Like his basic reaction to it is, why have you guys been trying to like trick us? And then now you just tell us before the movie comes out, well, psych, you know, like that's weird.
And I do get what you're saying about the marketing thus far leaning toward the rescue idea. But at the same time, I mean, I do see that, but I feel like having an entire Jurassic Park movie be about a big rescue op isn't going to be a substantial, successful summer blockbuster.
No, I agree. And I wondered some of the imagery where you see, you know, especially in one of the early trailers where you see a dinosaur like creeping into a little kid's room.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out, okay, where's this coming from?
How'd that even get there?
Right.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, where's this dinosaur at? You know, why are the kids sleeping on the island? This is stupid. But
they said what dinosaur that is, by the way. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, it's some type of raptor.
Right? Yeah.
Or is it the Deinonychus?
No, he's not. He's not a drinker. Sorry, that was a bad joke. Anyways, yeah, I mean, imagine if you had all of a sudden, what would you guys think if they started spoiling a potential relationship between Rey and Kylo in the lead up to The Last Jedi?
Oh, I think they'd just be teasing people more than spoiling anything. Even stoking the fire. No, but that's what I'm saying. If I saw that in a trailer, I think they were stoking the fire more than.
But if they did show it in a trailer in the last month ahead of the movie, after not, and then it happened, even if it happened 20 minutes in, you wouldn't feel like that was weird that they gave it away?
I would be surprised that Disney would do that, just like I'd be surprised if Universal gives away the big plot of the movie into the Jurassic Park trailer.
But if it is 20 minutes in, then who's to say if it is the big plot? It's just something
that's my point.
I'm just saying JJ's got more to tell. But to Mark, this twist feels significant, and I get where he's coming from. I get what you're saying. You're expecting more, but what if there isn't?
Well, I just
you
feel
haven't
like,
seen it yet.
Well, I just
what
feel
if
like
there's no other twist and it's just straightforward after that? Then it does feel weird, but they gave it away. Maybe.
Well, these are a lot of what ifs, but I feel like right now we have a better idea of what the movie is. And before, what we thought was an idea of the movie was not.
Well, okay, I get you on that, because even the taglines now, I think they say it's like the park is gone or the park is loose or something
That's
like
fair.
That on the posters. But it's like you've spent the vast majority of your advertising time making me think this is Jurassic Park 3 or Jurassic Park 2 pre San Diego.
Right.
Jurassic Park 1, you know, and now suddenly you're like, no, guess what? Most of this movie is the dinosaurs are off the island.
You know, Alex, I do see what you mean by the marketing thus far may not have been the best implementation.
Tim, you know the first trailer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know the trailer that they just released. Here's my perfect example. The trailer that they just released, what's the comedy bit in the beginning?
The thumbs up?
They're in a cage trying to secure what?
A T-Rex.
The T-Rex, not a T-Rex, the T-Rex. The guy from all the movies. He's already sedated. He's in a cage and actually bumps into Chris Pratt. And you're like, hey, comedy. It's like, wait, what? This one that you see, they just made a big deal out of this guy, you know, stomping on some other dinosaur's head to save, you know, the ball and Chris Pratt. So I'm assuming this is after that. And so now I assume that whole scene when Chris Pratt runs and jumps off into the water, everybody survived. You would anyways, but even the dinosaur, even the T-Rex survived. And now they're all happy and joking about it.
And with all that rubble that fell behind them, like just that all those characters and Chris Pratt and all those dinosaurs are like, I don't know.
It's an odd choice to go with this trailer now, in my opinion. That's it. Sorry, I didn't realize this became Jurassic World podcast, but anyways.
Tim can't complain. Tim loves it.
I am literally wearing a Jurassic Park T-shirt right now with the logo on it.
Nice. I love Jurassic Park. Don't get me wrong.
It's awesome.
I think that I think actually in hindsight, Solo marketing's been pretty good because it's not really spoiling anything. I have no clue other than there's a train heist, and Chewbacca has goggles, which is pretty sweet.
Do we expect anything else from the Lucasfilm marketing? Really?
Nope. Giant tentacle creature in the space.
Right.
Oh, the one weird thing that I've seen people mention, and I'm not like, I don't really have any feelings on it because I've just seen it right a few minutes before we started recording, but about the new posters, they have all these character posters, and for the new little monkey kind of alien, they have a credit for Jon Favreau, who's voicing him, and they have a credit for Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who I think is voicing and doing mocap for
I just saw this too.
The droid. But there's no credit for Jonas Soto for Chewie, and people are like really upset about it for his behalf because he has a character poster too, but it doesn't have his name. Like, why is he the only one if they have two other creatures or whatever?
Yeah, it just says Chewbacca on it, but there's no Eunice or anything like that at all.
I thought
like,
well,
there should be something.
Do the voice, but he does do the actual movement. So,
yeah.
Like it does feel a little weird to me, and I don't know. I mean, it can't be by accident if it's so specific, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know.
I don't even have an opinion. It's just something that I saw and noticed and thought, yeah, that is a little weird. Like,
because I was gonna say, okay, they want it to just be Chewbacca, but then, you know, you're basically saying Harrison Ford's not. My initial thought was you don't want people to know that somebody else is playing Chewbacca.
Right, which I get, but they've also announced it a bunch, you know?
Yeah, but this is also a movie where somebody else plays Han Solo and somebody else plays Lando.
Right.
Yeah.
So what does it really matter who plays, you know? Why take that away from the guy?
And I feel opening up your world massively and being really weird about Chewbacca, being like, Chewbacca's a mystery.
Well, and I feel like the majority of people who go to see this movie aren't going to see that poster and be like, it doesn't say Peter Mayhew. Oh, that's it. I'm not seeing the movie.
Well, I know that when I first heard it wasn't going to be Peter Mayhew, I threw a huge fit, and I said I was quitting Star Wars forever, and they ruined everything and lied to me.
And to be fair, you're not most people going to see Solo.
That's true, and I love Chewbacca.
Okay, so you know what? I feel like we're good, though. No, it's fine. I mean, like Jared said, I'm more than happy to be talking about Jurassic Park. Whether or not this is technically the podcast, I mean, it's close.
Hey, Tim,
it's close. Tim, what?
Jurassic Park cast.
As long as I don't have to record or edit and post that, then I'm there.
Because it sounds like there's gonna be a lot of movies.
I mean, we'll see.
And if you're down, Tim, if you're down, apparently there's gonna be now Fast and the Furious animated television for Netflix.
I just saw that.
Well,
what is that about?
Fast and the Furious podcast.
I just can't wait for Tyrannosaurus Rex, a Jurassic Park story. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I can't wait for Fast, since they're both Universal franchises. What if Fast and the Furious and Jurassic Park merge somehow?
It's just an extended scene when the Jeep is running away from the T-Rex.
And it's Vin Diesel in it.
Right.
Because Vin Diesel or The Rock's in it, because it's all Rock shared universe. The Rock.
Oh, man. I still heard somebody have the best idea, because aren't they all Universal, right? And then so is XXX. So what you have is you find out that actually the character in XXX is a cover that Dom was using, and you merge the XXX universe and you fold it into Fast and Furious. And Universal is also Transformers. Like, they use cars. How do they get to space? Oh, they got shape-changing alien space cars. Boom. Like just do their Avengers. Have all those things team up.
I don't mean to break it to you. Paramount is Transformers.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, sorry.
Universal
is like GoBots, apparently. So we can do
that. Oh, well, then GoBots works. Same thing. I did not care. Like that was one. There were a lot of things that were clear ripoffs when we were kids, Mark. That one, I saw through like nobody's business, but I did not even care. I loved the cartoon and I loved the toys. I did not even give a crap. I was like, cheap Transformers ripoffs are fine.
Okay, real quick. I'm so sorry, Tim. I'll make this fast. Oh, you know what? Just hang up, and I'll talk to Jared later.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to be like, we're done. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
And we will be back. And so bye. I'm going to give Andrea a chance to say bye because she's been quiet recently.
Bye.
And now everybody else.
Bye.
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 Okay.